Soybean oil gets slippery. Monday morning I got my brand new Porsche 911 convertible, put the top down, and took the outer drive by Lake Michigan to downtown Chicago. I got into the office at about 7:30, a full 2 hours before the bean market opened. The sofa and chair in my office were covered in some special leather from West Germany. I think the set cost $7,000. The stereo was a $4,000 Bang & Olufsen. Everything in this office was about the most expensive you could make it. It was like the Rob Report. How much can you spend on a desk? Fine, I'll buy it. I had a special desk that was on a copper pedestal coming out from the floor, and the carpeting covered the base of it. On top of the pedestal was a giant 3-foot by 6-foot by 7-inch piece of mahogany. The tabletop looked like it was suspended in midair. The credenza didn't touch the floor either. It was a matching piece of wood bolted to the wall, also looking like it was suspended. When you walked into the office, all you could see was carpet stretching out in front of you, a copper column rising up from the carpet, and 2 pieces of wood levitating in midair, defying gravity. And that is just what I thought I was doing, defying gravity. I sat down at my fancy desk on the edge of my chair, waiting for the market to open, ready to have another $50,000 day, and thinking life couldn't get any better than this. This time, I was right. It didn't. When the bean oil market opened that Monday morning, the spreads opened a little against us. By the close of trading, the bean oil spreads had given back most of the gains of the previous 2 days because of rain in the soybean belt over the weekend. I figured it was no big deal since the market had been up so much in recent weeks. It's just a correction in a continuing bull market, I told myself. Besides, it is too late in the growing season for rain to do the crop any good. On Wednesday, August 31st, the oil spreads got smashed again, despite the fact that soybeans were 25 cents higher on rumors the Soviets were negotiating agreements to buy soybeans from the United States. I was sure that with the beans up so much and the Soviet news, it was just a matter of time before the oil market caught up. On Thursday, the whole soybean complex, beans, meal, and oil, collapsed on reports a Soviet jet fighter shot down a Korean Airlines passenger plane. What does the KAL downing have to do with the bean market? I asked. They think we'll impose a grain embargo against the Soviets, just like Carter did when the Russians invaded Afghanistan in 1980, said Smith. That's stupid. The Russians didn't invade Korea. They accidentally shot down a passenger plane. There's no comparison. The market's wrong. We're not going to have a grain embargo. I was right. Over the Labor Day weekend, President Reagan condemned the Soviet assault, but shunned tough retaliation. He refused to disrupt a new grain sales accord. Soybeans rallied sharply on the news, but the bull spreads in the oil market went down again. Once again, I chalked it up to the fact that the oil market had outperformed the beans in August. The beans were playing catch-up, and the oil market was resting before the next leg up. The spreads did stabilize for a couple of days as the market began to focus on the September 12th release of the Agriculture Department's crop report. That report turned out to be wildly bullish. The damage to the crop was more severe than previously thought. Beans opened almost limit up the next day, but closed almost limit down. However, the bull spreads in oil closed higher on the day. Okay, I said to myself, this oil market is starting to turn back to the upside. This whole bull market was driven by the oil market, and bean oil is starting to rally again. This market is turning. But the next day, the oil market collapsed again. Limit down in all contract months, and more than limit down in the spot month, since there were no limits on the spot month. On Friday, the market stabilized and managed to erase about a third of the week's losses. On Monday, September 19th, the bean market and the oil market roared to the upside. Over the weekend, a winter storm system in Canada exploded and was drifting toward the Midwest. This is great, I thought to myself, just a few weeks after the worst drought since the 1930s wreaked havoc with most of the soybean crop, an early frost threatens to damage what remains. Okay, finally the market is going to turn. This frost is going to revive the bull market. But it wasn't to be. The market just slipped right back down again. I never saw the spread trade better than it had on that last Friday in August when I was at Broderick's Lake House. The decline was relentless, with only occasional spasms to the upside, up $10,000 one day, down $25,000 the next. The market continued to grind lower, and I proceeded to lose about $20,000 to $25,000 a day, every day for months. The clients I advised were sophisticated and experienced traders in their own right, and they had been bailing out of the market since early September. As far as I was concerned, this demonstrated their lack of courage to buy with pride and hold with conviction. Naturally, I didn't get out. I was in for the long pull. This was going to be the big trade. The world was going to run out of bean oil, maybe even mayonnaise, and Smith and I were going to make $10 million.